back here on the field for another installment of a Carvel DeWitt live exclusive here with Dan Stora and Rob Drummond from the CFL, NFL, and Syracuse. And getting back to it here, talking about football and what's going on with football these days. Training camp will be starting very soon. We put out a show a few weeks ago. I had asked you the question, out of every New York team, would you go to the Giants, the Jets, or the Bills? And that got more listens than any other show that we've done, because you were very blunt that you will never cheer on the Giants.
Nope.
You think the Jets are a train wreck.
Yep.
And the Bills are Doug Marrone's team now.
Correct. You know, so I mean, I have no problem doing the term with the Bills. I think the Bills had a great draft, you know, and what they did, they drafted for need and what it was to make that team better. I think E.J. Manuel is going to really make that team a very, very strong team once he cracks the starting lineup. You know, right now they have Kevin Cobb as their starting quarterback, I'd say, because they signed him for all that money and brought him in. He's a veteran leader. But I think E.J. Manuel gives them the best opportunity to be a successful team, and I can see them going, I won't say deep into the playoffs, but I definitely see them being a playoff caliber team this year. The Giants, I cannot cheer for because of the whole Giants-Eagles rivalry throughout the year. The NFC East, you know, the Cowboys, per se, I never cheered for also, but you said New York team, so, and the Jets, I just think the situation that what they did with how they treated Tim Tebow when he came there as a player, you know, just wanted to make a team and just go out there and do the best job he possibly could as an athlete, I just think that was wrong. You know what, don't take advantage of someone is what I always say, and I think the Jets took advantage of Tim Tebow as an athlete completely.
I thought this going in. I thought it was a publicity stunt going in to get Tim Tebow on a team that already had a starting quarterback, that already went, knocked on the door of the Super Bowl twice in 3 years. So to me, getting Tim Tebow, putting him where they put him, was more fanfare to get people to stop thinking about the Giants, get people out to training camp, get them to come to your games no matter what your record is. And at the end of the day, you throw them out. So it's kind of like using up a rag, and then once that rag gets dirty, you throw it out and buy a new one instead of washing it.
Yeah.
And now, having washed that laundry, I think the Patriots are going to have a season where they're going to make people pay, and they play the Jets twice.
You know what? I would agree with that 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I think the situation with Aaron Hernandez and the Patriots right now being unsure with his situation in his career in the NFL is going to hurt them drastically. If you look at the offense and with Tom Brady and what they did over the past couple of years, Hernandez and Gronkowski were a huge part of that offense.
True.
You know, and even with Wes Welker, all right, Wes Welker, he did his little things, and he faded away towards the last couple of years, but up until that point, Wes Welker did a great job from them getting into the slot and getting open. You know, now with losing Hernandez, which I think he's going to lose, they're going to lose him because he's in a lot of trouble. I don't think society and I don't think the justice system is going to allow Aaron Hernandez a pass like they did with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis got a pass, and he's a very, very lucky man. He was humbled after that, you know, and he went on to change his life and devote his life to God, but what he did was wrong because I feel personally, from players I talked to, you know, he saw the murders happen, you know, and he got a free pass, you know. But Aaron Hernandez is not going to get that same free pass. And I think they're going to crucify him and basically hold him accountable for the things that he knows. And with that being said, with losing Gronkowski for at least half this year, losing Hernandez, losing Wes Welker, I think the Patriots are going to struggle a lot more than most people think. You know, Bill Belichick is a master of going out there and putting people in positions to be successful. But he has the toughest work cut out for him that he's ever had in his career. And it'll be interesting to see, because I said, when they signed Tom Brady, you're signing a great athlete. And Tom Brady can fit right into the mold of a Gronkowski, you know, of a Hernandez, and do the exact same thing they did. Maybe not as big, but he's faster, he's more athletic, you know, and he's stronger, so he can do the things that he needs to do to make the Patriots successful. The question here is, will he? That's the big thing you really have to ask, and that's the one thing you have to wonder. Will Tim Tebow take a step back of not being quarterback, the one they praise all the time, and play tight end, the field position that they truly, truly need to make the Patriots successful? And now we'll see, you know, what kind of moxie this man has.
I think, hopefully, what had happened this offseason has humbled him.
Yes.
Because I understand his want to play quarterback. I understand the break from the norm. I understand that he doesn't want media to dictate his future. I get all that, and I agree with all that he's standing up for himself. At the same time, he has an opportunity to play in the NFL. Tom Brady only got his opportunity because Drew Bledsoe went down.
Correct.
So you never know what's going to happen. And Kafka leaving the team, who is a talented guy who went to Jacksonville now, has opened up the space for Tim. So, you know, could Tim be in there as a wildcat? Could he be in there and throw a short pass? Sure, but I think when it comes to Tim Tebow is he knows how to win games. Mm-hmm. And I do think he's best served as a leader. But it's going to be a very interesting season to see how him and Tom Brady could get along. I just think that no matter what, when it comes to the mastermind of the NFL, if anybody's going to figure out how to use Tim Tebow, it's going to be Bill Belichick.
I mean, I completely agree. And the thing that bothers me is that as good as Tom Brady is, as good as Tim Tebow is, you know, the bottom line is he's not a good passer. He has never been his entire career. And so it's just like, you know, someone doesn't just change overnight. You look at all the games and the great run he went with the Denver Broncos and winning all those games. His passing percentage was the lowest rate out of any quarterback that in those weeks of winning. So he's not a great passer at all. You know, he's a winner. He knows how to go out there and get games, get things done in order to win a game. But you know what? You look at Denver, he had a great defense around him. They played unbelievable that year on defense. Tom Brady's not going to step in there and be a lights-out quarterback throwing the ball to win games. If you have to rely on him throwing the ball to win games, you're not going to win. Yeah, he won one game against the Pittsburgh Steelers 2 years ago in a playoff game. That's all well again, and that's all great. But lightning strikes people once in a lifetime also. You know, it happens. He's not going to do that on a consistent basis. In order to be a good quarterback in the NFL, you have to be consistent. Tim Tebow is not consistent at all. No, so until he understands that, you know, but I heard a sports radio show talking the other day, and they were talking about Tim Tebow now being able to sit behind Tom Brady and sit there and learn the game, learn how to throw, learn how to pass. It's like, you know what, look at it this way. He's at a point in his career where, you know, yes, he could possibly get better, but he knows what he knows. He's not going to get better at his mechanics as a quarterback. He is what he is, and he's not that good of a passer. He's a great athlete, so he can go out there and play another position and be successful. He could be a Pro Bowl H-back, a Pro Bowl tight end, but you know what? He's so hell-bent on being a quarterback that it's unbelievable. Quarterback's not the most important position in the NFL. I'm sorry. There are other positions that also you can go out there and make a huge contribution to your team. If you're a great athlete, you can play another position. Play that position and make your team successful. It's not about any individual. It's about a team. That's why it's called football.
First and foremost, I refuse, and for everybody listening right now, this is unedited. I'm not going to go back and get your Tom Brady mistakes.
No.
We're just every time you heard Tom Brady, insert Tim Tebow there.
And I'm not a Tom Brady fan at all. Trust me, not at all. No, but I mean, I give Tim Tebow a lot of credit because I think the media, you know, has villainized that young man, you know, to where all he wants to do is be able to go out there, play the game of football, be the Christian that he is, yeah, you know, and just live his life. And I can respect that, you know, but people judge him so much. You know, I judge him as an athlete, but I truly don't. I judge him because of the simple fact that they built him up to be this great quarterback because he's won a few games and everything. But I look at football in an entirely different way. I look at football as a form of from the athlete. I look at each athlete and I, you know, individualize them differently. Sorry, but Tim Tebow is not a great passing quarterback. He's a great winner. I would love to have him on my team, but he's not the quarterback that I rely on, you know, late in the game to take me down, have a game-winning drive to win games. That's just not who he is. But he's a great athlete to have on your team. You know, he's a great moral character guy to have on your team. He's a great guy to be on your team to have other guys sit there and want to do well because of who he is. But he's not the guy to sit there and play quarterback to get me on a game-winning drive to win a game. So he's a great guy to have around, but just adds a different position than the quarterback. I see it.
And it's interesting how things happen, and I don't believe in coincidences. I know you don't either. Gronkowski has had his moments of going and getting prostitutes in Vegas, allegedly. And now Aaron Hernandez connected, not connected to this murder and all the alleged things that are going on with this. It seems all too coincidental, but not coincidental, that you have immoral player, and then you bring in a guy whose morality speaks even louder than anything he's ever done on the field.
You know, it's ironic and it's funny, but I said the minute the night before, I sat there and saw an interview about Gronkowski possibly getting his fourth or fifth surgery within the last 3 or 4 years, and I said to myself, you know, it's like, wow, you know, the Patriots are going to be in trouble because their offense basically runs through their tight end. Then the next morning, I find out that there's rumors that Tom Brady, Tim Tebow is going to be signed.
I got a ticker. I think it's five or six.
To the New England Patriots. You know, and I said to myself, what a great opportunity it is going to be for the Patriots to have a Tim Tebow on their team, because Tim Tebow can not only play quarterback, not well, but not only can play quarterback, but he can play tight end also, because I thought that all along would be the best position for him. You know, and so sure enough, a few weeks later, we had this whole Aaron Hernandez situation. And I was like, you know what? Everything's true coming to fold. Because all it's going to take Belichick to do is go up to Tim Tebow and be like, you know what, Mr. Tebow, honestly, will you please play tight end for us? You know, because you're the best athlete at this position to fill in for these two guys. You're big, strong, powerful, athletic. You can catch. You can learn this position. Can you do that for us? You know, and help this team win. And it'll be a great redemption for Tim Tebow if he can go out there and help the Patriots get back to the Patriots form. If he can play another position with a Tom Brady on the football field and go out there and do well. So I'm hoping that he can take that setback, you know, because he's a very, very humble man, and just do what it takes to help a team win. And that's the kind of player I want on my team.
I think it would be interesting if he really desperately needs to pass, that they just direct snap it to him and have him flea flicker it back to Tom Brady and then let him go. Because it's technically a pass for him, but it gives them an opportunity to play their game. They want to play it.
The thing I'm trying to understand is, why is America so, you know, admonished to try and understand and have someone like a Tim Tebow will be able to throw the ball?
He just wins. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Bottom line, he wins. But I mean, you look at the stats, you look at the numbers, you look at the percentages, he's not a good passer. You know, in this day and age of quarterbacks, if you look at the overall passing rating, you have to be in the top to be considered a good passer. He's not a good passer. There's so many quarterbacks out there that are better than Tim Tebow that aren't getting the opportunity to play quarterback. Why is he any different? Because he's a moral character guy? That's so unfair to some of these other athletes out there that are working just as hard, doing everything to try and right their life, to try and go out there and play quarterback. But yes, he gets the opportunity more so than anybody else. I'm sorry, but that's unfair.
What bothers me, I'm talking about what's unfair with guys not being able to play, is the fact that Greg McElroy on the Jets has never gotten a fair opportunity. Matt Sims, who's their fourth stringer, son of Phil Sims, has never gotten an opportunity. Yet, they've thrown the ball better than Tim Tebow in practice.
Right. Yeah.
They've thrown the ball better at times than Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg McElroy won a disgustingly awful 7-6 game and then was replaced the next week. So if I'm a Greg McElroy or I'm a Matt Sims, now Geno Smith is here. So you're guaranteeing me that I'm never going to move up, yet it's not for lack of talent.
Right.
And I thought, and maybe I'm crazy, but I thought that in the NFL or in any sport or in any job, that the most talented are the ones that should play.
You know what? You would think that. I mean, I feel so bad for McElroy, the quarterback of the Jets, you know, and I just say here at the end of the day, it's like, you know, McElroy, get out of there. The New York Jets organization is a train wreck, you know, not waiting to happen. It's already happening. You know, and I can say the same thing about Ryan Mallett with the Patriots. You know, here he has a young man, basically he has some off-the-field problems, yada, 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 whatever it is. You know, all of a sudden they bring in a Tim Tebow who doesn't have the arm strength, doesn't have the QB knowledge, doesn't have the QB IQ, as a quarterback, Tim Tebow's no comparison to Mallett. But yet they bring him in, and I hear him. You hear them talking about trade bait for Mallett as far as they're bringing Tebow in. It's crazy to me. It's insane to me. So, you know, it's like, it's that, granted, I like Tebow, but it's as if he has this grip over the entire nation and this fantasy about him being a quarterback. And, you know, and he's not that good as a quarterback. He's a great winner, great role model. I would love to have my son have him as a role model because he's a great person. But as a quarterback, he's not that good. And for him to just overleap some of these guys who are more talented than him makes me think the NFL is a farce and a joke.
I just look at him and I feel like he's caught in between because as polarizing as he is, it gives him opportunities.
Yes.
But in the same respect, with the media the way it is, and I completely separate myself from that, and you know that, folks, the media is trying to prevent him to play.
Correct.
By making him polarizing.
Yes.
He's trying to get on the field and use that polarizing, but he's caught in between the North and South Pole, and he's just stuck in this like electromagnetic field. He's just kind of hanging out in neutral and is never going to really get, I think, what he wants.
But there's
always a CFL, you know what I mean? And you played there.
I don't think he'll humble himself enough to go be able to play the CFL to learn the game and get better.
But there's a lot of teams there.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know the competition is
yes,
great.
Yes.
And it's filled with a lot of guys who are shunned from the NFL or even guys that made a decision that it was more important to be in the CFL.
You know what? And the thing that bothers me most is that in all my years of football, you know, and I'm a 46-year-old man 2 days, as of 2 days, 3 days ago, you know, it's just, I've seen so many more talented quarterbacks and 10 people never get the opportunity. And here's a young man that's being given every opportunity time after time after time after time after time. And for me, I sit back and take a deep breath and I always say to myself, you know what, it's so unfair. You know, I say, here's someone who's not as talented. Granted, all right, he won two, or he won the Heisman Trophy. He led Florida to all those victories, things of that nature, you know. But that's the past. What have you done for me lately? And what he has done for me lately is not shown the fortitude, you know, and the moxie, I say, to be able to go out there and be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Okay, he wins games. I can go out there and give you a few quarterbacks each and every week. They can go out there and win a few games, but they're not good quarterbacks. They're not good at passing the ball. I want a quarterback that you can put in the game, 2 minutes left in the game, you drive me left of the field to win this game. Don't do it one time. You know, do it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. You know, he doesn't have the arm strength. He makes some decisions every now and then. But quarterbacks that make decisions every now and then don't play long in the NFL. We both know that. You know, unless you're a Tom Brady, you know, unless you're a Peyton Manning, you know, unless you're any quarterback out there, basically go out there and basically make these throws to be able to sit there and have your team to win, you shouldn't be given that opportunity. He's given the opportunity time after time after time. As I said before, for them to sit there and even think about trading Ryan Mallett, who's a prototypical quarterback as far as his arm strength, as far as him being able to see the field, being able to go out there and play quarterback, and to replace him, to trade him because you have a Tim Tebow here who you think can learn the game, is crazy to me.
You brought up H-back. This is something that, coming to Syracuse, not just being used in the NFL, but now being used here, the H-back, this new position on the depth chart, so to speak, with Ashton Broyle. Instead of having the running back list just be a long list of 6 or 7 guys, you have your running backs, but you move Adonis Amin more to fullback. You move Ashton Broyle to H-back. H-back, for all intents and purposes, is that guy that's going to line up. He can block for you, and he's meant to block and catch. In the NFL, it's been more on the side of having another receiver out than it is having somebody to block for you. But with the H-back position, what can Tebow do here? And then second part of it is, what can Ashton do?
Honestly, as far as Tebow goes, they can line him up anywhere. You know, he's too fast for linebackers to cover, and he's too big and strong for DBs to cover. So you can put him in the backfield, like as you said before, direct snap. You can run him on some plays. You can have him go off for routes. There's so many positions you can put him in an H-back position. You know, it allows him to use what I think is his strength, his versatility. You know, so now you have Tom Brady in the backfield being able to get to the ball to a H-back type player who's a gifted athlete. You know, you can throw, like I said, you can throw a screen to Tebow and then have him throw it down the field. There's so many different things. They give you so many opportunities to do different things with him in there at the H-back position. But if you line up as a quarterback, I'd just be like, man, if I was a defense coordinator, I'd be like, you know what, young man? No, beat me with your arm. I'm going to load the box, and you're going to beat me with your arm. You might get lucky that day. He got lucky. I'll call it like I said. He got lucky against the Steelers in winning that playoff game. He got lucky in a lot of those games because, one, the defense was playing lights out that year. They were playing absolutely unbelievable. They were the number 2 ranked defense in the conference that year.
But
behind the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that says a lot. You know. So Tim Tebow got very lucky. I'm glad for him, but he got very, very lucky. Now it's going to be a position now where you're not going to be that lucky anymore, young man. Now you're going to have to go out there and win games with me with your arm. And that's quarterback on one end, and I don't think he's that type of quarterback capable of doing that.
I stand beside him because he knows how to win.
Yes.
We talk about luck, though, but I also want to give credit to somebody. And, you know, we talk about Denver's defense, but I said their kicker, Matt Prater, who's one of the best in the league.
Yes.
On top of that, you have a running backs. Now, you pick up Monte Ball. When you get a guy like him out of Wisconsin, this is a guy that could have very well been a first round, first running back off the board, but for whatever reason, running backs fall in this year's draft. Monte gets picked up late. He goes to Denver. Then they always have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 strings of guys that are capable of playing. Your Mike Andersons that found ways to get on the field and do what they need to do. So, to me, they're not hurting there, so that's got to be on the list. Your defense, your kicker, and wide receivers. And I think we talk about luck, but I also talk about talent. Demaryius Thomas caught the 2-3 yard pass from Tim Tebow and then ran the rest of the way on his lonesome. And if he didn't get that touchdown, run as fast as he did, and blow by 50-plus yards, they're not going anywhere.
No.
So there's a big difference between, and as much as I support Tim Tebow, there's a big difference between a 60-yard passing touchdown and what I think pad stats for quarterbacks, where it's a 2-yard pass and a 50-yard running touchdown, where we just see at the end that it's 220 yards for whoever. Tim Tebow for the day, 220 yards, but 85 yards were on a 2-yard pass that a guy ran, and then this one was on a 90-yard run that was a reverse, but it's counted as a pass for whatever reason. To me, when you look at stats, it doesn't really tell the story
of not just
Tebow, but of everybody. And I think you have to watch the game closer because you and I see so many things that you can't see if you just look at an end result. And if we're comparing quarterbacks, obviously 200 yards for one quarterback like Peyton Manning is 200 yards.
Yes.
200 yards for Michael Vick, for a Tim Tebow, is maybe 80 yards, maybe 100 yards, but it's not 200. And I think that says a lot about what is not said in the NFL.
I mean, even for Tebow, Tebow completed what? He completed 13 passes that game. It was, so he was 13 for almost 20, whatever his stats were. And I have one friend who's a Tebow fanatic saying that, you know, it's going to be the downfall of the Broncos, to get rid of a quarterback. And I told him, I was like, do you realize that the Broncos, you know, traded Tebow away and got better? You know, and because honestly, they upgraded the quarterback position. You know, so what? Peyton Manning makes mistakes here and there. Peyton Manning actually has won a lot of games in his career as a quarterback, taking him down for late minute drives as a quarterback. Peyton Manning is one of the most accurate, talented passers in the game. You know, you can't compare Tebow to Peyton Manning. You know, so what? The Broncos lost a game the playoff game last year. Now, Tebow got lucky in the playoff game. Great for him, but Manning's probably going to end up having a close shot at winning the Super Bowl this year. He's that good of a quarterback. Brady's the same way. Aaron Rodgers is the same way. Honestly, even Kaepernick, once he plays his game, is a one heck of a passer. He's a quarterback. Tebow is an athlete, a great athlete, that happens to play quarterback. That's like RG3. RG3 is one of the most accurate passers out there. He's unbelievable as a quarterback. He can throw the ball. You know, so it's all hindsight when you think about it, because he's a winner. You know, and as I said before, as an athlete, I would love to have him on my team. But as a quarterback, you know, you can't game plan, as someone who understands football, certain game plans in order to put in for Tebow to run. He's not going to throw the deep out. He's not going to throw the accurate pass that you need in some game plans. So it makes a whole dynamic and a whole difference for when you're game planning. Because a lot of it, the college game, where they're set up to do certain kind of runs, set up to do certain kind of trick plays, sitting there in order to cater to Tebow. You know, and that's a tough situation for any offensive coordinator, a very, very tough situation.
Well, that's the big problem for me, is the fact that you can't rely on him if you're playing against the Steel Curtain, if you're playing against the Ravens, if you're playing against the Giants, if you're playing against teams that are known to stop the run, have the ability to stop the run, and even the Denver Broncos now. You can't say, okay, well, you know what, Tim, we're going to send out two guys deep routes, and you're going to catch them.
Yeah.
If he catches them within the first 5 to 10 yards, maybe. But that's my thing. I understand both arguments. There's, hey, guess what? He puts a W on the board.
Yeah.
But the other side of that is how many Super Bowls can you win if you can't throw that pass?
I always say, man, I told my friend this a long time ago, Tim Tebow is a quarterback who will never win a Super Bowl, ever. He doesn't have the arm strength and the arm accuracy to go to a full year in order to win games as a quarterback. He just doesn't. Now, as a player, as an H-back, as an athlete, he'll help a team win a Super Bowl, but he doesn't have the fortitude it takes as a quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
And I think that having a guy that can run the ball and pass the ball is good. I mean, Ashton Broyle just talked about being able to run, pass, and catch the ball.
Multi-talented.
The thing with Tebow is, though, we don't know, nor have we seen, if he can really catch the ball. We know he can run the ball. We know he can pass in some ways. But we don't know how good of a receiver he can be and how capable he could be in that respect. And I think that, I mean, if he can do that, he's a great H-back. But my big issue with him is that we've seen him run. So can he really catch the ball?
Well, I bet one of my friends is a scout. He's a scout with the San Diego Chargers now, JoJo Wooden, you know, who saw him in practice all the time. He's like, Robert, he has unbelievable hands. And I was like, and that's the one thing that people are never going to see, because he's 10 people once he thinks he's a quarterback. But at some point, be an athlete. It's all about helping your team, putting yourself in the best position so your team can win. It's not about any individual. You're not a quarterback, young man, but you can help your team in so many other ways than do that.
Thanks to JoJo Wooden, we now know that Tim Tebow can catch the ball. We're here back on the field once again, live from Carvel DeWitt, the home of the Wake Up Call Sunday, and so much more. Thank Carvel for being a longtime sponsor. Carvel DeWitt, that is, of Wake Up Call with Dan Satora and Dan Satora Broadcast Media. For Rob Drummond and myself, Dan Satora, we thank you for listening in. Rob, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.